Welcome to this week's episode of The Art of Authenticity. I'm Laura Coe, your host, and thank you for tuning in. Today was a first for me. I interviewed a couple. I have not done that before, and it was awesome. I had Alexi Panos and Preston Smiles come on, and you guys, you're going to love them. I just adored talking to them. They have awesome energy. Everything they say they work on, it really came through that they take this stuff seriously, and it is not just what they talk about, it's how they live. They're the founders of The Bridge Method. It's this awesome online course that you can check out on their site. There's also a new book that just came out, Now or Never, Your Epic Life in 5 Steps. I've got a copy. You should definitely go out and buy a copy. I really believe that you're going to find a ton of value. In today's episode, we broke it down. They walked me through the 5 steps for an epic life. You always have a choice. Be radically responsible. Act now. Own who you are and have a blast. These two have created transformational, passion-filled content using age-old wisdom. They have a social media channel filled with YouTube videos. Thousands and thousands of people have enjoyed and gotten a ton of value, and I know you will too. If you want to check them out, you can go over to alexiandpreston.com. All of this will be on my page, lauraco.com, but I know you're going to love today's episode, and thank you so much for tuning in. Welcome to today's episode of The Art of Authenticity. Today we have Alexi and Preston joining us from California. Hey guys, how are you?
So good. How are you?
Woohoo!
I'm awesome. I'm so excited to chat with you guys. I have to admit, I didn't know of the work you've done until...
Shame you. Shame.
It's terrible. And I've been saturating the last few days listening to your videos, checking out all your stuff, reading your book. And it's just amazing. And I think the thing that comes to mind most when I jumped into your work is just the inspiration and the power of the energy behind both of you. So anybody out there that hasn't checked it out, definitely jump in. But thanks for coming on the show today.
Of course. Happy to be here.
So you guys focus on, you have a new book, Now or Never, Your Epic Life in 5 Steps. And why this book? Why did you guys decide to focus on this right now? What was the idea behind it?
The money. No, I'm just playing.
But it's definitely not the money when it comes to books.
I was going to say, I'm like, well, clearly that wasn't it.
That wasn't the best plan. No, we wrote this book because, quite frankly, we were getting so many requests from our videos to distill it down in an actionable guide for people to really take it on in their own lives. You know, a lot of people, they'll watch our videos, they'll get a great motivation, great inspiration. But then the question's always, what's next? You know, and there's a lot of books out there with great theory and great information, but that information doesn't become wisdom until we actually apply it to our life. And, you know, Preston and I saw a huge gap in the industry when it came to books, that the books weren't really applicable to, you know, applying to somebody's life. And we really wanted to create something where...
That sounded like humans of today, that felt like humans of today, that wasn't from 30 years ago. Yeah. And that was like, so this is our version of the 4 agreements with practical tips, tools, and insights that people can apply ASAP.
Yeah, we really wanted people to leave with a feeling of empowerment.
I love that. I love that the 4 agreements today. I mean, the 4 agreements is so like, it's such an applicable book, right? You can start doing it right away. Don't make assumptions. Okay, let me try that. Let me go through
exactly,
a day.
Exactly.
And you guys really do that. I mean, you have very, very specific steps. Do you want to like start to walk the listeners through a few steps? Because I hear this all the time too, right? It's like Buddha says, do this. And you're like, well, how? Like, how do I do? I mean, it sounds wonderful to be filled with gratitude every day, but yelling at yourself, be grateful, doesn't quite get you there, right? Like,
I wish it did though. Wouldn't that be nice?
Just be grateful, damn it.
Come on. Yeah, the 5 steps for us. And you know, what's interesting, it's just like the 4 agreements that if you do even one of these, your life will be completely transformed. So the first step for us is you always have a choice. And that's truly the bridge to empowerment. That's where it all starts. That's the foundation. And that whole chapter is about how to build your awareness around who you are and how you show up and what's running you. So we give you literally, I mean, I think in that chapter, we probably have like 20 tools.
It is packed.
Yeah. So you literally become a scientist of yourself and you start dissecting who you are, how you show up, and what's running you. And it's really powerful.
With the understanding that, and this is the core principle and one of the things we teach all the time, is you can't intervene in a world you truly cannot see. Mm. So if you cannot see what's actually there, then there's no way you can change it. There's no way you can embrace it and finesse it and have it support you. So that's why step number one is you always have a choice, because that's the foundation.
So let me just like stop you there, because I think this is so important, right? So many people feel stuck. They feel like this idea of choice. Well, what are you talking about? I have a busy schedule. I don't have the time or money, right? Like I have a boss that's pushing at me all the time. So they don't feel as if there's a choice. So can you dial in a little bit into this idea of choice? Because I think it's so important for people to hear this.
Yeah. So choice for us is really, again, it's about awareness. And a lot of people, like you said, have these excuses that are truly running their lives. And when we teach people in our methodology, the first most basic component is, I don't care what excuses you think are running your life, it's you. And you always have a choice of how you show up to life. Mm. We don't always have a choice in how life goes, but how we respond to it is really the powerful place. So for us, that choice is really dialing in on seeing how we're choosing, seeing from which fears we're choosing. And when we get really clear about the things that literally show up right before we're about to hit a tipping point in our relationship, in our business, in our life, the things that show up when fear kicks in, how we're actually reacting versus responding consciously, it literally, like I said before, you become a scientist and you start to see how it's all connected. And with the tools in the book, you literally begin to see yourself fully empowered to say, oh, I get why I feel like there's no time. I understand why I feel like there's not enough money, because my mindset is focused on certain things.
And so I just want to give you a sort of a real-time practical idea about what that would look like.
Awesome.
So for instance, in the book, we have a section about conditioned tendencies, which are your CTs. These are the things that you always go back to when, you know, ish hits the fan.
Right.
Essentially. So there's, you know, fight, flight, freeze, and appease. Right. So Alexi and I are in a conscious relationship. We are both A-type personalities who get stuff done. Right. And so that inevitably will create some friction. So in our relationship, nothing we teach, we don't use ourselves. Right. So this is all stuff that we use all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, for instance, when stuff comes up for us, I know that out of my conditioned tendencies, fight is the first one I will always go to. Right. Having a understanding of that and also knowing that that's Alexis as well creates power for me. Without that awareness, I can just be sitting in my righteousness all the time. So for us, we break it down and support people in understanding what your conditioned tendency is, how it's showing up all over your life, what your friends, family, or, you know, loved ones, what theirs may be as well, and how to combat and be with that in a powerful way.
And a big piece of this that you guys talk about in the book was letting go of right and wrong thinking. Because if you're in a belief state that I'm right in my fight, say, right, like, or the things that I'm saying, there's a right and there's a wrong, that quickly degenerates the conversation into a stalemate.
Yes, yeah. Which happens.
It happens. And you know, it's unfortunate because we're brought up in a society where we're taught to judge things as right and wrong. You know, we're told when we're little that, you know, be a good boy or girl, don't be bad. And we're constantly seeing this polarized version of contrast of you're either this or you're that. And Preston and I really like to sit in the gray area and say, well, what if it just is? Like, what if this just is life? What if this just is happening? And now we get to decide what we want to do with that. And that's been a really powerful thing for us in our work, in our relationship, in all areas of our life, because we can say, okay, here's what's happening. Doesn't feel good for me, doesn't feel good for you, doesn't necessarily make it right or wrong, but how do we move forward in a way that feels good for both of us?
Because the ultimate goal, right, you talk about is conflict. And so if anybody's been in a relationship for more than, you know, 5-6 years, there's that same conflict that goes on over and over and over and over. It's like you could put play and walk out of the room. Because it's like, I'm going to say this and then you're going to come back with that, right? So getting conscious of all of that and getting past the right and wrong and learning to listen and recognizing that there's a unconscious pattern that's playing out and learning yes. what that is for yourself is kind of the key. Is that right?
Yes. So one of the analogies we use is that everybody has a backpack that's filled with all kinds of tricks and toys and things from our wounded past, right? And we meet somebody and our backpack is there and they have their backpack. And every time that person does something that resembles something in our backpack, usually what happens, especially in our divorce-ridden society, is we blame it on the other one.
That's right.
We do that for, you know, a couple months, maybe a couple years.
That comes first.
And then eventually we just get a divorce and run away with our backpack.
Right.
Only to meet another person and have the same thing play itself out.
I was going to say, as we lay on the ground and play victim, right?
Exactly. And the idea is, you know, open up the freaking backpack and see what's in there.
Yes.
Unpack it, look at it, face off with it, and then make some decisions from an empowered place now. That's truly it. Because like you said, everybody wants to play the victim and everybody wants to fight to be the best victim. You know, like that's what most fights are about. Like, I want to win being the biggest victim and you get to be the biggest villain.
Oh, right. I mean, it's so ridiculous. So does that lead you to being radically responsible? Is that why that's next? Because if you take radical responsibility, it's hard to play victim.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't leave much of a space. So
tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I want to preface all of this with saying none of us are getting an A++. So even us, you know, we do a pretty damn good job and we have a new normal that's higher than most people ever, you know, experience in their relationships. But we still, it still comes up for us. The point being is when it does come up, do we have the tools, which is what we packed in this book, do we have the tools to face it responsibly? So, you know, my wounded child comes up sometimes and it feels like it's not good enough, not smart enough, and all of the other things, all the other enoughs that show up. And sometimes if that triggers Alexi and her shows up, then both of our egos are sitting there fighting each other until, you know, one or both of us come to the realization where we go into our toolbox. And so this book is about that. The 100% responsibility, that chapter is gigantic because anything outside of that has your power. So
yeah, right. And I want to jump on that real quick because right. You know what happens is a lot of people have awareness, and we see this a lot in personal development and, you know, workshops and seminars. A lot of people have a ton of awareness about how they're showing up, but yet they stay in their victim mentality around that. And that's something that we see happening all the time is people get stuck in the process. It, within their processing of their past and everything, they're literally still in victim mentality. They're still not willing to step into full responsibility of it. So being radically responsible truly is about looking at how have you created this, allowed this, or perpetuated this position to show up how it's showing up right now. And that can be really confronting for a lot of people, but that's where it changes. That's where it changes. And you really have to be willing to put the ego aside to get there.
Because blaming the other person and staying in that state of like self-righteous indignation, it's so powerful the way it grabs you, right? And it's like you just want to have the other person admit that they're wrong. But ultimately, if that fight's going on over and over, you're not really getting anywhere. And guys, would this really then suggest that there's ultimately a ton of different perspectives and that coming into discussions, assuming that your perspective is going to mirror the other person's is the part you need to let go of?
Yes, exactly. And just bringing compassion. All of this is the whole book is really the underlying theme is compassion.
Like
literally everybody's doing the best they can from where they can with the tools they have available at any given moment. And so
Preston, say that again slower because that is so important. And I think so many people like hear those words, but you know, if you could go back through that really quickly.
Yeah. So it's the understanding that everybody is doing the best they can from where they can with the tools they have available in the moment.
So when you feel injured by somebody, reminding yourself that this is really the best that they have available. I don't think most people think that's true. They think, oh, they're just being mean to me, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's such
Yeah. And it's also about, you know, looking at a situation and not taking it so personally. And it's really hard to do, but to look at a situation and to see somebody in their hurt or their pain or stuck in a story, maybe from their past, it's really hard to do that. But if you're committed to, loving the person or having a powerful relationship with them, that's really the work that we get to do. We get to stand in that space and see that this isn't coming out of nowhere. You know, clearly there is a trigger involved that triggered something from their past. And if I care enough about this person, I'm willing to be here for them to help them get underneath it.
So somebody is in a really bad mood, having a terrible day, and all that anger comes out at you. The idea is not to take it personally, but to recognize that they're in pain and start to create the compassion around what's happening with them and that it's not an affront to you. Is that right?
Yes. Does that happen every single time? No.
Right.
Could you take it personal and then leave or go into another room, take a few breaths, remember what was in this awesome book that this chocolate and beautiful vanilla woman wrote named Preston Smiles and Alexi Panos, and then go back in the other room and go, oh, okay, I see. So what is this really about? You know, yes, that's what it's about for us. You know, like I said, we are not getting an A+ on every single thing that's in this book, but we're getting pretty damn close. And it's because we've been in a practice. Whatever you practice more of, you get more of. And that's why we wanted this book to be something that people could carry around for months and months and months and just take one little piece and apply it to their lives and over again. That's why we have exercises. That's where we have spaces where people can write so they can really dive into themselves.
Yep. It's because any little tiny shift, any one of these is life changing. So then the next one you talk about is Act Now. Can you explain a little bit more about that step?
Sure. So Act Now is kind of a twofold step. It's about acting now and really getting clear on your past. So that means going through forgiveness. That means going through your emotions and allowing those to complete themselves. It means really getting a clean slate to create with in the now moment. And then it also goes into how to create and obliterate your comfort zone so that you can really step in powerfully to a future that inspires you and empowers you.
I love that. It's so funny because when you hear Act Now, the first thing you think is, I'm taking action. I'm going to go for a jog. But it's all about acting from a place of personal responsibility. And so
yeah.
That leads to own who you are.
Yeah.
Tell me about that step.
Yeah. We love that chapter because that's a truly hard one for a lot of people because, you know, we've been so indoctrinated to be the version of ourselves that society wants us to be. So it's really interesting how a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, well, I know who I am. And then we start to peel back that identity and we start to see that the person that they are, and this happened with both Preston and I, the person that we were at one particular point was just a combination of all the agreements that society had for us and our parents had for us. So how do you truly create yourself in a powerful way that feels authentic to you? And that's what we really dive into here.
Yeah, because let's say there's somebody out there that's saying, yeah, I want that. That was me, right? I had built this whole company. It was a healthcare company. If you ask me, the last thing on the planet I want to read about, it's health care. And yet I had a whole business around it. and so getting back to figuring out who I was a really challenging process. What would you say is the first step in that?
The first three steps in the book, which is no choice.
Like, got it.
Just remember, you always have a choice in any given moment. And then at that point, it's like, okay, what did I create? What did I create? I'm so freaking powerful that I created a healthcare business that I hate. Wow.
And it was still successful.
It was really successful. That's the worst part.
And then at that point, it's like, okay, what do I do now? Cool. Well, I act. I'm going to act internally and externally because the outer world is a reflection of the inner world. So you started to do your work, Laura, and that started to show up outside. It started to show up in your relationships with yourself, your friends, your family, your husband, your kids. And so then we get into the conversation of how do I really tap into and listen to that internal compass that's always and always calling me forward. And so that's when we get into the emotions. That's when we get into the conversation around understanding that our context determines the content, that the space we hold determines what comes into the space.
Yeah. And it's really about allowing ourselves to, we have a part in the book where we say, blow up your box. Allowing yourself and giving yourself permission to blow up all the boxes that you've put yourself in. And that becomes a challenge for people because then all the labels go away. You know, the label of mom and dad, the label of, you know, business owner, entrepreneur, the label of manager, the label of, you know, daughter, son, brother, sister, whatever labels that we've kind of placed on ourselves. When we take those all away, we're then left with a question, well, who am I? And then that question, because it's so big and it's so, the answer to that is so vast and evolving.
Yeah.
What happens is you recognize that who you are is a creator and that you're constantly creating in every single moment. And that can be really scary at first for a lot of people. Uh-huh. But once you really embrace that and start to see that you've essentially been creating your entire reality up to this point anyways, so why not do it consciously? Why not play with it? Why not, you know, see what you can step into as a human? And that's really exciting because, you know, a lot of people have never given themselves permission to just be who they are and to create from that space. And when you truly do that, that's real freedom. And people, you know, they want the money, they want the cars, they want the house, they want all these things, because essentially what we're looking for as humans is freedom. We just really want the freedom to be ourselves. And stepping into that from a space of radical authenticity is scary, but it's the most freeing feeling that you could ever have. And once you do that as a practice, that practice becomes your normal and you start to own who you are in all circumstances. And like Preston was saying, the context of who you are determines the content that shows up. So then you start getting content that shows up that's fully aligned for you. And it's so right on target for who you are because you are who you are and you're owning it fully.
I love that. I love that. And you guys talk about remembering your truth of who we are and what we are. And you're calling this the emergent wisdom movement, right? Is that the concept behind
it? Absolutely.
This? And that all of us have this innate wisdom within us, but we lose that over time. You know, I've got a 10-year-old. He's, you don't have to ask him twice if he likes pizza. And if you ask him 3 or 4 times, like, I love this little game because you say to a little kid, like, are you sure you like pizza? And the more you push into them, the louder they get, the happier they get. They're like, I love pizza. But it's like adults, you're like, are you sure you like what you do? And you know, the first time, yeah. The second time, why is there a problem?
Should I
for that? Yeah, is this wrong? Did I do it wrong? You know, we just like immediately let go of ourselves.
So true. That's so true. And yeah, the emergent wisdom movement for us is really, you know, we were so sick of the whole self-help and personal development thing. And the whole concept behind those titles is that you're broken and I've got the answer for you, right? And here, let me be the guru and teach you what I know. And, you know, I got it figured out. And Preston and I, just from working with so many people from all over the world, from so many different backgrounds, from, you know, people who are just getting electricity in Africa to people who are living multimillionaire lifestyles in the Western world. And we all have the same issue, is that we don't trust our innate wisdom. And we really wanted to give people their power back and say, listen, we get that we may have forgotten these things. But the reason this resonates with you is because you remember it. Something within you goes, ah, yes, I remember that. And it resonates because it's your truth. It's just that we haven't been in the practice of listening to that inner wisdom, that inner truth for so long. And Preston and I are really, you know, that's the mission in our work, is to remind people of their own wisdom, their own power, their own truth, and to truly start trusting that and living from that space.
Yeah, that's so powerful, because at first I was like, what do you mean self-help versus, you know, this other way of talking about it? But that's right. There's nothing wrong or broken. It's sitting right there. You've just lost touch. And I can speak as one of those people. I mean, you had asked me what I want. Literally, you could put a board up and the answer was staring right at me with 5 other things. Couldn't have told you the difference. I'd be like, I don't know. They all look good to me. And so trusting that innate wisdom and coming back to yourself and believing that that's enough to make decisions from. So for both of you, was this a path where this was just something that you guys were doing from a young age? Was there a turning point? Like, has your authenticity always been something that you've had a connection to? Or was there like a process in that journey for you?
Well, you'd already know the answer to that. It's always a process.
Fair. But was it ever like, I really lost my way and then came back?
Oh yeah, that's exactly why. I never had this in the plans for what my career would be. I was on some other stuff. I was in a gang. I was a graffiti artist. I was a lot of things, but definitely not a personal development or, you know, emergent wisdom leader for sure.
Really?
I was a leader. I was always a leader. Even when I was in a gang, I was a leader. The question is where I was leading people to. And so that same energy that always existed, I came here with this energy, but how I use it, whole different ballgame. My understanding of it, entire different ballgame. And so I've lived like 13 lifetimes in this 36 years of being on this planet. And, you know, everything from getting super sick at 25, having a heart condition, taking pills, being told I would take those pills for the rest of my life, making a decision that that's not going to be the case, being handed a book called Asking It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks, having my mind blown by a line in there that said, our thoughts become things and we create our own reality, asking, looking around and going, nobody I know, literally, and nobody they know has ever heard that line ever. And so what the hell is that? Got so mad that I started researching, found a movie called Zeitgeist, became a super angry vegan, started trying to convert everybody in the world from that anger. Didn't work. Realized that love is all there is. Went on a journey of really filling my own cup and giving from the overflow. And in that, realized that there's so many people that didn't know, that are still suffering, that are still just as brainwashed and conditioned as I had been, just as angry and hurt as I had been. And so for me, it was a calling. This was something that I couldn't ignore.
And I love that you said it was you're filling your own cup and people benefited from the overflow. That's really powerful because I think a lot of people don't see it that way. So it has to start from within yourself.
For sure.
Yeah. And for me, it was similar, but very different. You know, I grew up with a mother who was into this work. So I heard Marianne Williamson and Tony Robbins at 8 years old in the car. And it was interesting.
My poor son, I'm going to have to send my son to you because my poor son is living that life. But go ahead.
That's so funny. And honestly, I used to pretend like I hated it, but secretly I loved it. And at 13 years old, when I hit my awkward teenage phase, it really came in handy. You know, I remembered all of that and I created a powerful life for myself as a teenager. You know, I was modeling internationally at that point and I grew up in a small town. So I always felt like the outsider. But I created powerfully still with that story. And it kind of led me down this path where I got into the music industry and got a recording contract at 15 years old and ended up touring the world with a major artist at the time from 17 to 19 years old. Totally lost myself in fame and fortune and the promise of all of that. And really just had a come to God moment, as they call them, or an aha moment in Africa where I just, you know, I was just in this excess lifestyle of money and fame and alcohol and parties. And we had just got done playing a show and we're getting on this tour bus and we had just spent all this money at this nightclub on booze and we're getting back on the bus and I see a shanty town across the street. And it just hit me, like the contrast was so crazy that it just hit me. And I was faced with looking at myself and seeing that I had basically been living inauthentically up to that point. And I had kind of said yes to this life that clearly wasn't mine, you know, that clearly wasn't who I truly was. But I said yes to it because of the promise of fame and fortune. And I really kind of had this moment where I felt like a fraud and I felt sick of myself and came back to New York City where I was living at the time and just reevaluated everything. Got out of the music industry, started a nonprofit organization, and then went on the journey of discovering who the real version of me was. And it wasn't an overnight thing. You know, it was, I think I'm still in the process of that. But I really got clear over those next 6 or 7 years that if I wanted to feel aligned, if I wanted to feel purposeful, I really had to start listening to that inner voice. And much like you, Laura, you know, at 25, 26 years old, I had, quote unquote, I had it all, you know, I had just bought a place in New York City. I was making a hefty six figures. I had a career in entertainment. At that time, I was a television host. I was doing really well for myself, but it wasn't my life.
Yeah. There's nothing like that sensation, right? It's like, you look around and you say, okay, everything's in its place. What is wrong?
Yeah. And you know, it's such a gift too, to get to that point, because I think a lot of people are still in the process of trying to get to that point and thinking that that point is the answer. And what a gift that we had the opportunity to quote unquote have it all and recognize that that's not it. And because there are a lot of people, like we have a lot of clients that come to us and say, well, I want this. I want to create this type of business. And they think that getting to the top of that mountain is the answer. And it's just not. The answer is the journey of who we become on our way to whatever mountain we set out to conquer. And truly, that's been the biggest thing for me, is constantly checking in with myself. Am I aligned? Am I living the life that feels true to me. And it was really hard because I was tempted with a lot of money and a lot of fame and success and recognition. And that's a really tempting road to walk. And I, quite frankly, walked away from all of that to do what I do now because this felt truest to me, to really support others through supporting myself and deep diving into this whole human condition. And I couldn't be more happy. It's like the best thing I've ever done. It feels so, so good.
And when right? That's like so awesome. I love it. And when did you two come together? And like at what point in each of these journeys did you find each other and move forward? I love that you're working together. That's so amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome for sure. We are, you know, conscious workout partners who get to have sex and make out and stuff. And so that's definitely awesome.
Conscious workout partners. I'm going to tweet that one.
And so 3 years ago, 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 years ago, we met through divine order. I mean, literally, this story, I'm not going to tell it to you because it's a little long. I'll give you the cliff notes. A lot of things had to go right and wrong, and I'm doing quotes here, for us to be in the same place at the exact same time when I was on a blind date and she ended up, you know, trading in her tickets and going to a different show after being introduced on the internet when she was in London dating another guy. It was just like, this thing was like a Charlotte's Web, and it just unfolded all so perfectly because there is something for us to do here together, not just romantically, but also for the planet. And so our relationship and who we be and how we get to see ourselves in each other is supporting our highest growth and our highest good. And it was almost instant that we realized that we were supposed to be on this journey forever. For me, it was for sure. For her, she thought it was a business transaction.
I was like so on a mission at that point. I was like, we're going to work together. We're going to do this. And, you know,
He's already plotted out your home and your family.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how things unfold. But, you know, what's interesting is things really turned for me when I started to see him in that way. And it was very soon. It was actually our first meeting where I asked him about his vision. And I asked him about, you know, what he was up to in the world and what he was committed to and what he was creating. And of course, you know, he shared this massive vision that was my vision. And it was just one of those moments where I was so like, oh my God, there's another one of me, because I thought I was this like crazy anomaly that I cared so much about getting this work out to the world, where I would work long hours, I would be up late, I would be up early, I would do whatever it took to make the biggest amount of impact that I could. And here was a man who happened to be an attractive man who felt the same thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, is this real? Is this happening right now?
That's awesome. So when you guys are like facing, I mean, because this path isn't easy, right? Books and promoting and getting it out there and, you know, putting videos. Your videos are, by the way, beautiful. They're like pieces of art, and doing all this stuff. Fear comes up. Stress comes up. You know, when you're in a place of uncertainty, how do you keep yourself from making inauthentic choices and landing your way back?
Well, we don't. Sometimes we do make inauthentic choices, but I'd say that those are very rare. So because we have each other to reflect, and one of the fantastic things about Alexi, and I'll tell you a short story. When we first started dating, something happened. Oh, we went to the movies and I bought a child ticket and a adult ticket, and she saw it and she was like, you're out of integrity. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm not out of integrity. They shouldn't be charging $12,000. And, you know, I'm like... And so, you know, we had our first little tiff, but it was fantastic. And that was, I fell deeper in love with her in that moment than, you know, previously. It just like, oh, okay. So she's here to support me and seeing the places where I'm still out of alignment.
Oh my God. By the way, like, I love that your fights start with you're out of integrity. That's, that all by itself just speaks novels. Most fights start with like, what the hell is that? Honey, you're out of integrity. So I checked out a couple of your videos, and you guys have practices. Preston, I saw one specifically with you, you know, getting off in the morning in the right way. What can you share for daily practices and habits to stay in an authentic place? Because this really is all about keeping on it all the time, right? So what do you guys do on a daily, weekly basis that helps you stay aligned?
Yeah. You know, the biggest one is breathing. And it's like right under our nose and such low hanging fruit that people miss it, you know. But what Preston was talking about earlier, the conditioned tendencies, if we're not taking a conscious breath and truly getting to the present moment, even if, you know, just for 2 seconds, 5 seconds, then what happens is we're being run on autopilot and we're creating by default. And that's when we start, you know, going through an entire day and at the end of the day coming home and being like, what just happened? You know, we're kind of missing everything. And we can't be authentic if we're being run on autopilot, because what's running autopilot is our wounds and our old stories and our past. So in order to really live an authentic life, it's truly about presence. And the breath for us has been really powerful. We actually teach a breathwork exercise in the book called Centering. And it's about just breathing into your physical center, which is, you know, right below the belly button, expanding that, feeling the breath in the body, really getting present to how that breath is filling you up, getting present to all the systems within your body that are working, you know, without our conscious dictation of having our heart beat and our blood flow and all of that stuff. And then just getting clear and going, okay, what do I choose to create in this moment? And, you know, Preston and I, when we find ourselves on autopilot, because it happens, you know, we're absolutely human and that's what we've been conditioned to do. We'll take a moment and just stop and go, oh, I see, I'm getting overwhelmed. I'm feeling stressed. I'm feeling frustrated because I'm running on autopilot. So let me take a moment, stop, breathe, check in with myself and say, all right, what do I choose to create now? And that's a really powerful one for us. Another one is having fun. And again, low-hanging fruit, super easy, but a lot of people don't do it. Getting outside and playing and having a blast, doing the things that fill you with joy. You know, a lot of people are living this life to buy stuff. You know, they're working around the clock, killing themselves, destroying their relationship to buy stuff, to have a bigger house, to have more stuff so that they feel like their time working at a job they hate is worthwhile. And, you know, our whole thing is, are you working to live or are you living to work? And Preston and I are so adamant about making sure people really get the most out of life. And it requires people really creating time for themselves to play and to have fun and to create and to do those things that they enjoy, you know, whether it's a bike ride or surfing or painting or singing or listening to music or dancing, whatever that is for you, those moments of joy are what life is truly about. And in our overworked and very busy society, that's often the thing that comes last.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And if people are interested in getting more into detail about this, you guys offer this thing called the Bridge Method, right? It's a 12-week
online training program. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can walk through this and many other practical ways to get your life into alignment.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I just want to add one little thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that is very, we require it for ourselves, but also we suggest for many people, is to have a habit that has nothing to do with your career, or have a hobby that has nothing to do with your career. Something that is just fun for the sake of fun. Something that you're not planning on selling, something that has nothing to do with being an entrepreneur and making more money. And
you know what, guys? That's so awesome. Like, I actually became a yoga teacher in the midst of my career. I think yoga actually pushed my career crisis to the front of my life. But anyways, I became a yoga teacher and I started teaching yoga. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on here? It is ruining yoga for me. Because what I love to like give. And I was like, you know, people like learning yoga from me. And I was like, sure, why not? But suddenly this thing that I love, which yoga is so important for my own well-being. I can't really give out to the world without it. It's just something that has really spoken to me. But when it turned into a job, like what you're saying, Preston, and I slowly found myself thinking about playlists and, you know, I'm doing yoga and I'm like, oh, that sequence would be good to bring into class. And it suddenly became, you know, something that I was organizing myself around instead of allowing it to be just something for myself that I got enjoyment from. So that's a very powerful point. So guys, everybody on this podcast, I ask them this one question. I'm dying to hear, because this is what you spend your life on and think about all the time. What does an authentic life mean to you?
An authentic life to me means that you're constantly just checking in and asking, does this feel in alignment? Is this aligned with the truth of who I am? And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I don't even know the truth of who I am. We know, and we pretend not to know, because sometimes life is easier when we pretend. And when we're living a life out of alignment, we suffer. So for me, authentic living is just alignment, 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 alignment.
Beautiful. I love that. And Preston, what would you say?
Yeah, the root word is author. And so it would be knowing that I am the sole author of my entire experience at any given moment.
Oh, I love it, you guys. I love how succinct you are with it. It's such a nebulous word that we seem to throw around all the time, and listening to, you know, people who from all different walks of life think about what an authentic life means to them is something that I find really pleasurable. If people are looking for more ways to find out more about either of you, where can they find you?
NowOrNeverTheBook.com or AlexiAndPreston.com.
Awesome. All this information plus the show notes will be on my website. Alexi, Preston, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode.
Oh, thanks for having us.
For sure.
Us.